is weird, odd, strange, or just plain bizarre is really your cup of tea, then the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast will give you that fix. Can't believe it? Well, listen for yourself as we deliver the strangest news you definitely won't find on CNN or Fox. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Weird News Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Weird News Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and I'm joined by the wonderful Sarah.
Hello.
Today on Weird News, I am pretty excited about our first segment because this is about an infamous character in Weird News. I feel like every Weird News episode, Florida Man comes up. Florida Man is infamous. This is like sort of like the collective mind of Florida Man.
Yeah, because it's not the same man in every story. It's just, but it is a Florida Man.
Yep. It's a lot of Florida men doing weird things. And so when the news comes up and it's like, you know, a guy slaps someone with his alligator, you know, whatever, classic Florida Man, it always will come up like Florida Man slaps man with alligator, you know, because that's like always the tagline.
Right. Like, right. You know, Florida Man colon.
Right, exactly. Or on a previous Weird News episode when I talked about a man losing a bet and covering himself in peanut butter, it'd be like Texas man covers himself in peanut butter in a dog park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's just kind of how it gets categorized. And I think because of that, we have the infamous Florida Man character who is so strange and comes up in so many Weird News stories. I'm excited to share about Florida Man because not only has it caught my eye, it has become a meme, which I have seen.
Ah.
And also, I guess other people have decided to write about it because of the phenomenon.
I think it's because of you.
I like to think, you're right, it's probably because of this cutting-edge news telling.
Yes.
Because of the Weird News Podcast. So, I guess, kind of a classic example, October 2015, Joshua James became an example of Florida Man when he threw a live 3-foot alligator through the drive-thru window of a Wendy's in Florida, which is crazy. And also, like, where are you getting a live, like, is that just in your car? Like, is that just
driving?
Right,
exactly. It's not a road dog, it's your road gator.
Right, or it's just like wandering around the parking lot and you just I see them all the time. So you're like, I'll just pick this up and throw it in, you know, like a piece of trash. Like, I don't understand. That's so bizarre. But that's like a classic Florida Man story. When you see this, you're like, that is so weird. Why, Florida? Why?
Yeah, why?
And so, I mean, honestly, probably some very strange, ill, maybe well-deserved stereotypes kind of come up.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the action of Joshua James earned him charges of unlawful possession and transportation of an alligator.
Sure.
Of course, Florida. Anyway, the Miami Herald's Howard Cohen started listing a few hallmarks of a typical Florida Man story. So he said, a Florida man tends to generally have to have firearms. Locations mm-hmm. help. Mm-hmm. So like bodies of water, theme parks, Walmarts, Taco Bell, fast food places like that. Also alligators for sure. Reasons for arrest and injuries. He also said drugs and alcohol could be part of it. And like we said, animals, and those would include reptiles in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds like a typical Florida man. Really just like the volume of strange stories and whatnot has led to the trope of the Florida Man becoming infamous.
Ah.
In 2013, a Twitter account popped up devoted to curating the Florida Man stories.
Oh, so I guess it can't be you. Dang it.
I know. I really appreciate the confidence that you had in me.
Well, I still believe you went back in time.
Oh, thank you. I do, honestly.
Yeah.
And Florida Man became a meme. Apparently known as the world's worst superhero. It's a pretty funny meme, Florida Man. I saw one of the Twitter, it's like Florida Man, And then the Twitter caption says, Florida man steals $33 worth of rare coins, cashes them in Coinstar machine for $29.30.
Oh, it's $33,000, not $33.
Oh, thank you. You're right. $33,000. It's classic Florida man. Also, Florida woman, that has come up. A Twitter account has followed for Florida woman. Of course, it's... not just for men, it's all of Florida. Right. Also, there was an analysis of the Florida man stories conducted by a Miami-based injury claim coach. I guess they were looking at the precise percentages of Florida hallmarks that are present in a sample Florida man article. For example,
what's an injury claim coach, though?
I don't know. Does he coach you
when you have an injury claim? I don't know.
It kind of sounds like someone who might coach you, like take you to a lawyer.
Yeah.
Perhaps like an injury claim lawyer.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Or maybe they are a lawyer and they just kind of coach you through it. I don't know.
It's just an interesting title. And then doing this analysis.
Yeah. Sounds like maybe someone who just gave themselves that title and then decided to do this. I don't know. They said that 13.3% of their sample articles involved alcohol, 12.2% involved assault without a deadly weapon.
Oh, jeez.
4.9% mentioned alligators.
And 2.6% mentioned assault with an alligator.
Oh, yeah.
I just made that up.
I mean, I would not be surprised. Also, from this, the injury claim coach's team created the Florida Man scoring system to quantify the Florida Man-ness of any news article appearing on the web. In their system, nearly every Florida Man story contains one of the following categories: firearms or other weapons, locations, objects, reasons for arrest, injuries, drugs and alcohol, and animals. This, of course, spells out the acronym FLORIDA. FLORIDA. Well done.
Yes, it does.
Well done.
Wow. And that's pretty... That's not stretching it too far to, like, you know, sometimes you see an acronym and you're like, oh, okay, you really had to work on that word. And except for objects, these all make sense. I mean, objects is pretty general, but...
Yeah, I mean, there is usually objects involved, but... Yeah, that is pretty general. But anyway, I would agree. I think that it kind of works, which is strange.
Yeah.
Just adds to the weirdness of the whole situation. Also, one of the characteristics of Florida Man is humor. Like, I think that's why it gets such traction, is because the stories are very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And not only bizarre, but kind of funny because they're so bizarre. And again, often involve, like, alligators.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, I've enjoyed reading about the bizarre Florida man.
kind of Florida man.
Yeah, exactly. Just... The world's worst superhero. Also, I feel like reading this, I kind of wonder, like, why there are so many strange people in Florida. Or why so many stories about this come out.
Sunstroke or what?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. Just too many alligator sightings?
Maybe.
Part of this, though, could be due to the state's open record laws. The laws allow reporters to access police records and mugshots, so the stories are accessible. Mm. A lot of the time, the mugshots are really just telling in themselves.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like most of the stories of, like, Florida Man, or at least the ones I've seen on social media, accompany, like, a mugshot next to whatever the strange story is.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the one I shared about the Coinstar, it was, like, on Twitter, and then there's, like, the mugshot picture. And always, I mean, who looks good in a mugshot? Not many people.
No.
So I feel like just with the mugshot, it's just kind of, you know, extra weird. And you're just like, oh, man, Florida man's really run down. They all have, like, bad stubble and whatnot. I also want to share some fun Florida man stories.
Oh, please.
So Florida man and reptile store owner Benjamin Herman Siegel slapped his employees with a bearded dragon lizard. After swinging it around the air, he also put the lizard in his mouth during the odd attack.
Okay, I own bearded dragons, and I'm offended on behalf of the bearded dragon.
Oh, I'm sure that probably...
That's awful! Yeah. I mean, okay, slapping the employees is also awful.
Yes.
But the bearded dragon didn't do anything.
And he should not be able to own a reptile store.
No!
For that. Not at all.
No.
Did he put it in his mouth? See, when I first read that, I thought he put it in his mouth and then slapped them with it in his mouth, but that is not the case. He just also put it in his mouth during the attack, which is very weird. I don't know. Strange guy.
Wow.
Man, Florida man. So weird. Okay, also, apparently, a naked Florida man, of course, John Hennessy danced in a fire and chanted in gibberish while wielding a knife.
In a fire. Great.
When officers arrived on scene, he grabbed a large wooden stick and started swinging it at them. Police later guessed that Hennessy may have consumed psychedelic mushrooms. Florida man. Florida man Cleed Carpuzzi was released from jail on auto theft charges. Soon after he walks out the door, he broke into another car in the jail's parking lot. Yeah. But he didn't notice a deputy sitting in the car that he had just tried to break into.
Jeez.
So he was caught and marched right back into jail for his second attempt auto theft charge.
Oh, jeez. Give it 5 minutes, dude.
Florida man. Florida man doesn't stop. Mm-mm. He doesn't take breaks.
There's
he just
more. No.
Keeps going. Also, Florida man Dominic Breedlove interviewed for a job at a Kohl's. Moments after the interview, he was caught shoplifting two pairs of women's running shoes from the same store.
I bet he didn't get the job.
Yeah, he probably didn't get to keep the shoes either. Mm-hmm. Oh, Florida man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know. That's so weird. Why? Why Florida? And also, I guess because of their laws, it's possible that other states have equally strange stories. It's just that maybe they're not as easily accessible to journalists.
Yeah, maybe not.
So, I mean, for all
we
know.
And they don't probably involve as many alligators.
Yeah, maybe the reptile like count is down. But... Yeah, exactly. Kind of just the South. But for all we know, there could be like California man.
Yeah.
Or California woman. And we just, you know, don't talk about it as much because we don't have the access to the mugshots as easily.
Jeez.
But I don't know. Very strange. With that, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back and keep talking about some more weird news.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to the Weird News Podcast. We are continuing to talk about some strange and odd and kind of funny weird news stories.
All of those things, yes.
All of them. We have just talked about Florida Man, which is really just a weird news classic. But I want to talk about something else. Something that, for me, I just like this time of year that gets me thinking about it. What I'm thinking about is Girl Scout cookies.
Mm.
It's that time of year again. I love Girl Scout cookies. I was a Girl Scout myself.
Did you sell lots of boxes of cookies?
You know, I did, but a lot of them also just ended up in my parents' garage
because
I wanted the prizes.
Yeah, see, I sold one box to my parents because even as a child, I was a massive introvert. And I was like, you want me to go knock on people's door? No. And I lived in a very small town, so it's not like we sat outside the supermarket or, you know, like they do in bigger towns. No.
My parents made me go out and talk to people and sell cookies, which was good because I actually think it helped me, you know, I don't know if business is the right word, but like helped me get out there and talk to people and...
Yeah.
I don't know. Learn telephone voice.
You're probably a healthier adult than I am.
Well, I don't know. I probably ate a lot of cookies, so I'm not sure if healthier is the right word.
Well.
But I really enjoyed it. I think it's a good thing. And like you said, there are a lot of Girl Scouts now that sell out like at grocery stores, you know, like sit outside a Safeway or Vons or whatever your grocery store is, and then try and talk to you when you walk into the store, and you really can't ignore them because they're right there waiting for you. I do often try, if I have already bought a lot of cookies, I sometimes go in through the other door that they are not by because I like feel bad saying no, you know, they're outside
they're usually
working.
So cute.
I know. And trying to get you to buy cookies and I love cookies. So anyway, this story comes from South Carolina, and it's about some Girl Scouts, specifically a mother of a Girl Scout. And this mom posted on Facebook that a man bought some 120 boxes of Girl Scout cookies so that the kids didn't have to go outside and keep selling them in the cold. Hmm. Which is, you know, that's pretty nice. However, the same person who bought the cookies has now been arrested, according to Drug Enforcement Administration spokesperson Wade Sparks. The man identified as Dietrich Lee McGowan was one of a group named in a 22-court federal indictment that included conspiracy to distribute cocaine, heroin, and fentanyl.
Okay.
So, not good.
So, yep. All right. Okay, I'm just waiting for the...
waiting for the punchline.
Waiting for the connection here.
McGowan has entered a plea of not guilty to 10 counts that he is implicated in. That is according to court records. It's not clear where he was arrested or whether the viral post praising the man's generosity assisted the authorities in finding him. The arrest warrant was issued on a Tuesday while McGowan helped the Girl Scouts on a Friday, so it kind of sounds like that wasn't the case. But the Facebook post was made by Mother Kyla Dillard. It's no longer public, and she didn't name the man in her post, so I don't think it's directly connected. I could see it if they were, like, tracking the man, like McGowan, for a while, and maybe they somehow made the connection that, like,
right,
he had bought
the
cookies.
Did she post a picture of him?
I mean, she didn't name him,
so
I don't know.
It'd be hard to know how that would be connected if there wasn't a picture or a name.
True. Yeah, and the post is no longer public. I'm not exactly sure.
Right.
Also, according to CNN, the Girl Scouts were selling the cookies outside a supermarket. The man approached. He first bought 7 boxes. Then he circled back. So I guess to, you know, buy the rest of them. He said, pack up all your cookies. I'm taking them all so y'all can get out of this cold. And that's what was posted on Facebook. The report came out to $540 that he paid for all the cookies.
That's 108 boxes. They're $5 a piece.
Yep. That's a lot of cookies. Which also, man, $5. I remember back when they were like $3.50.
Yeah, I think they were $2.50 when I started selling them. Or $2, maybe. I don't know.
So the mom said, what an amazing soul. It was about 34 degrees outside that night. We were there for 2 hours already before he came. We were all shocked, and the girls were very excited and thankful. After the news of McGowan's legal troubles, the Girl Scout organization did stress that no troop members faced any danger. And in a partially redacted indictment details a years-long conspiracy to import and distribute drugs allegedly involving McGowan and 10 other defendants. It says that McGowan and his co-conspirators used a property in South Carolina to manufacture, store, and distribute drugs going back to 2016. So I guess it's interesting because a guy who had been trafficking drugs and planning to do more of that since 2016 at least... then bought, like, $540 worth of Girl Scout cookies.
Well, he has the money.
Yeah, that's true. And he's probably like, well, I'm going to get more money soon, so right. Might as well.
I mean, maybe it's just, maybe he's a dirtbag with a nice side. I don't know.
Or he just really likes Girl Scout cookies.
Right.
Maybe he was on a lot of drugs and just was like, oh, man,
yeah, maybe,
Girl Scout
you know,
cookies sound
maybe,
great.
Maybe he just smoked a bunch of pot and he had the munchies.
I mean, who knows?
Who knows?
I'm not sure. The group... that McGowan was in, the drug-related group, they had allegedly conspired to bring in drugs from Mexico and take more than $1 million out of the U.S.
Hmm.
According to the Associated Press, McGowan is being held at a detention center in Spartanburg County. Also, I want to mention, it doesn't really seem that McGowan was planning on using the cookies he bought or anything to, like, smuggle drugs or whatnot.
I hope not.
It doesn't seem like the cookies were necessarily involved in the drug scheme.
Right, they may have just... These may be completely unrelated incidents.
I kind of feel like that is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he just, you know, felt bad, you know, had kind of a good heart despite the massive amounts of drugs that he was probably pushing.
Right.
$1 million that he was hoping to get out of the
U.S. Bought Girl Scout cookies from the Girl Scouts instead of trying to sell the Girl Scouts drugs.
Yeah. Maybe he was trying to buy the Girl Scout cookies, though, and then sell them on, like, the black market, you know?
Maybe for $6 a box.
Yeah. Who knows? I don't know. People who are desperate and can't get Girl Scout cookies from normal ways.
Right.
I don't know.
They're everywhere. How could you not?
I know, right? I feel like
they're
maybe
every
he door.
Saves them until, like, July.
Oh.
When everybody's out.
You know, Thin Mints do freeze well.
They do.
I don't know. Maybe he was trying to go for that. Who knows? Or maybe he was trying to give them to the people who work with him to make drugs.
Oh, he was, I don't know. It was, yeah, it was like taking a box of donuts to the office.
Taking just a lot of Girl Scout cookie boxes.
He's got a heart of gold, clearly.
Minus the drugs.
Drugs.
who knows?
The life of crime.
Oh, what a twisted world we live in. Oh, so complicated. So, I want to share another weird news story. This is not about drugs. This is about other lives that maybe you don't think about all the time, but related to food. So, apparently, GPS could now tell the life story of your poultry.
Oh, geez.
Who knew?
I don't want to know.
I don't either.
I mean, I kind of want to know, and I kind of don't want to know.
Yeah. I don't know. But maybe your poultry was kind of a jerk. You know, like maybe they were just a mean chicken in
the
yard.
Yeah, do I want to know that?
I don't
want to
know that.
I'm eating a jerk chicken. Oh, sorry.
Oh, boy. So, shoppers, as we know, are willing to pay premium, you know, for like cage-free, organic, wild, caught, you know,
right.
Many things about their food. But you might not know how well the chicken that you were eating, you know, how well its life was. You may not know how happy the chicken was if it was just going around like pecking at corn or I don't know blackberries or whatever.
Right.
I don't know if they were like,
I don't know, because when eating. I get it, it's plucked and in cellophane and, you know, not in the wild.
Yeah, not telling me how its day was, you
Mm-mm.
know. You don't know if maybe it was eating locally grown food or pesticide free food. Like, you can, you know, the label's supposed to tell you those things, but you don't necessarily know for sure. So one of the potential solutions to this is to put a tracking device on it.
Sure.
Interesting.
Chicken doesn't go through enough in its life.
Right, exactly. It just needs like an Apple Watch on its leg.
It's like that one commercial where they talk about their cows. They put Fitbits on their cows to show you how many steps they take. I don't remember what the commercial
was
is for.
Was that a commercial
but...
where they said it actually did that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's kind of cute.
Mm-hmm.
Sort
yeah.
of. I guess, before you eat the cow. But, you know, whatever. Okay, maybe you're into it. Apparently, it's not as absurd as it sounds, and that's according to Robin Metcalf, who is a food historian who teaches at the University of Texas at Austin. A GPS tracker strapped to the leg of a chicken, Metcalf says, means that people who potentially will buy the chicken will know every step that the chicken has taken.
Or not taken. It's just sitting on the couch watching Netflix.
Well, you never know. It could just be hanging out with the other chickens, you know, like gossiping or whatnot.
Exactly.
Talking about what's going on in the yard. You don't know. Maybe
yeah.
your chicken didn't exercise.
Right.
Didn't want to. And you could have a lazy chicken. I would not be surprised. But Zhang An, which is an online Chinese insurance company, has already outfitted more than 100,000 chickens with trackers. The sensors upload information, such as how much exercise each chicken gets and what it ate. The company says the technology will be on 2,500 farms in China by next year, which is interesting. Also, an insurance company. That's curious that an insurance company wants to do that.
Yeah. Is this actually helpful, or do we just have too much time on our hands?
Well, I don't know. I don't feel like I want to put my time... What, you know, where my chicken walked. Like, I feel like kind of ignorance is bliss at a certain point.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know, like maybe it didn't walk. I don't really want to know that. I don't know. I'm not sure. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back and keep talking about some more weird news.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back to the Weird News Podcast. We're continuing to talk about GPS that can tell you the life story of your poultry.
And I did look it up over the break, and the commercial is Organic Valley.
Oh, and yes. That is for the cows that did have
the
tracking
cows with the Fitbits.
Them.
And yeah, it's so they're dairy products. So you can see how far your cheese walked.
Yep. I want to know that, you know. See him to the ladies strolling around and eating grass and taking a bunch of steps. Also,
they probably walk more than we do. Well, I'm sure they do.
Do they have more steps then because they have more legs?
Mm.
Maybe that would... Well, maybe... See, now I feel like the exercise of a cow is inflated. I might have walked just as far as the cow did, but they just have more steps because they have more legs.
I don't know.
I don't know how they figured that out.
I don't know how that works.
But, I mean, not that it really matters, but I'm going to drink the milk anyway.
Okay.
So I want to mention, the company that I talked about in China, they outfitted chickens with trackers. Apparently, also being worked on is facial recognition technology so that consumers can one day make sure the organic chicken they saw on the farm is the same one that ends up on their plate.
They don't have faces on your plate. What? No,
maybe this, like, before the chicken walks into the slaughterhouse, it
this
has
is
like
going
a little,
too far. They take a mugshot.
Yeah, they take a picture of the chicken.
This is going too far.
I don't know. That's really funny. also, tracking technology is apparently already being used by the California-based company Driscoll's, which is the largest berry distributor.
Oh, and what?
It's being used to monitor shipments in real time.
Okay, I'm going to say the berries are not walking around.
Facial recognition technology of, like, your raspberries.
Oh, George!
I want to know that the exact strawberry I'm eating is the one that I saw in the bush. I don't know why that matters, though, that the chicken that you saw, like, I just want to know that it comes from the farm. Do I have to be like, oh, that one chicken over there, you know, like Clucky, I want to know that's the one that I'm eating.
Right. No, I don't want to get that up close and personal.
Right, that's like premeditated murder, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the one that I picked out from day one is the one that's on my plate. I don't know. That's very strange.
This whole conversation is making me maybe become a vegetarian.
What about the berries that are being tracked?
Oh, dang it!
So Driscoll's is tracking the, or I guess they're monitoring the berry shipments in real time, or whatever. Yeah, I think they only do berries. And that way consumers can hold their phones up to a QR code on the packaging of their berries to see the smiling faces of the family that grew them.
Oh,
so
not
the faces of the berries.
Okay, that's kind of nice. You can see, oh, here are the farmers who grew my berries.
Yeah, I think that's kind of cool. So I feel like stores kind of want to do that anyway. Like, when I'm in, like, the grocery store, sometimes they advertise, like, oh, these potatoes were grown by this family, and they'll often show you a picture of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least you assume that the family grew some portion of the potatoes that end up in the store. So I guess people kind of already want to see that, you know, like, believe that their food's not just coming from a factory, which I can kind of see.
Right, but, although then, you know, it just makes me think, stock photos, are those really farmers?
Yeah, that's true. Okay. That's kind of what I think, too. But I don't know. I mean, how much, like, do you want to go? I guess you'd have to go to, like, shake the hand of the farmer, you know? Like, see them pick it. Like, can you live stream them harvesting? I don't know.
Maybe,
probably. Although I do want to say, so the real push for this is not, like, it's not just the consumer. It's really mostly the industrial sector. So it's not really just for the clean consciences of consumers. Suppliers want to validate the safety of the food that's going through this system. And that can help them avoid, like, food recalls and potentially public relations nightmares.
Okay.
So it's, like, easier tracking for them. You know, like, the romaine lettuce and all of that.
Right.
They can easier track contaminated food.
Okay.
So
I can get on board with that.
Right. I think that's practical. Tracking devices would be able to pinpoint exactly which farm was affected by, like, bird flu or, like, which one produced E. coli-tainted lettuce. And then they can also tell you how long the produce was in transit, whether it was exposed to, like, warm temperatures and whatnot. It's really for more, like, food safety, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the chicken tracking doesn't necessarily feel that way. I mean, I could see that, like, bird flu tracking, but I also think they want to pander to consumers. But that's my opinion. Also, apparently, Walmart is testing the technology on leafy green vegetables, such as spinach and lettuce. And the idea is that once the source of contamination is found, the produce could then be recalled and destroyed, like the specific produce from the specific farm that was contaminated, as opposed to recalling millions of pounds of food. You know,
okay,
like let's say a
again,
farm.
Again, that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. like a cattle ranch was contaminated, like the cows were or something.
Right.
Then that way they can recall the meat from that specific farm only and then destroy it, as opposed to having to recall all of the meat, which, yeah makes sense. It's not yet clear how many producers could embrace the technology. Those who raise the animals on an industrial scale aren't as eager for the public to see what happens to their farms, which, yeah, I can imagine.
Right.
Probably organic farmers want to do that to, like, prove transparency, not necessarily industrial farms, you know, mm-hmm. because they may not want you to see all the things that happen on their farms.
Oh, dear.
It could really be interesting to see where food tracking goes. I wonder if that'll make food safer. Also, I did see people mention that could lead to hacking. Because if everything is, like, automated and most things are already automated, but, like, having tracking, like, over Wi-Fi and whatnot, like anything, like, baby monitors can get hacked, you know, like, your computers can get hacked, your smart TV can get hacked.
Everything, yeah.
Everything. And then if you're putting that technology into food systems, people say that hackers could get into the food systems and cause problems.
Oh, geez. Stop it, hackers.
I know. I feel like, wasn't weird news where we talked about, like Minecraft Denmark or something
being
hacked?
That was just a couple weeks ago.
Right,
or maybe
exactly.
Last week. I have no concept of time.
I know. I don't know what's going on anymore. I don't know where my chickens come from. I don't know what's going on. But I feel like hackers will get into anything. Or, like, just, you know, for the heck of it.
Yeah,
just to
I
see
think
if
so.
They can, like,
just
mess up.
To
like,
do
just
it.
Put a different picture. That's not the family that grew your berries. It's actually a different family.
Right.
Wow.
They don't even grow berries. They grow spinach.
Yeah. Who knew? But I don't know. I think that'll be interesting. I would be scared that that could potentially get hacked. I think it's a possibility. But at the same time, it could be kind of interesting to see, like, what family grew my food, you know?
Yeah.
Or, honestly, I think it's too much for me to know what my chicken did. That's like, I'm not that, like, into meat processing.
It's too much for me to know.
I don't really want to know that. Maybe the dairy cows I'd be more okay with. But then I feel like also, like, oh, the dairy cow just sat under a tree for, like, 2 hours.
Well,
interesting.
And then the chickens are like, what about, you're okay with dairy cows, but you don't want to know what we're doing? Fine.
Well, also, like,
we're way more interesting.
We're just chattering the whole time.
I really don't know why I'm anthropomorphizing the chickens and the cows, but whatever.
But also, if you're dealing with, like, chickens that are in, you know, like the free range versus not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you have a chicken just in a cage, I could really see how industry doesn't want you to know that, because it's like, yeah.
Right.
They're just sitting there. You know, like, maybe you don't really have a concept of that until you actually see the stats.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you can't really imagine a chicken not moving and then you see the stats of, like, oh, they literally just turned around once.
Mm.
You know, I feel like that wouldn't be something that industry wants. Or really,
right.
I mean, honestly, it's not something I want. But, you know, who knows? I think that'll be interesting to see. So that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening, and please tune in to the next Weird News podcast.